Aloha kakou. Welcome to the Aloha Friday Conversation, an hour of art, culture, and ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa. Really glad to see Russell and Harrison right across the way there, 10 feet away. Hey, they're waving. We're going to begin now with effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on the most vulnerable in our communities. In 2019, the annual point in time count showed 6,448 homeless individuals statewide. Of those, 4,453 were here on Oahu. Laura Thielen is executive director of Partners in Care, PIC, a coalition of homeless service providers who work with youth, they work with landlords, and they can really offer a view of what's happening on the street. 2 weeks ago, PIC launched a survey app for assessing possible COVID-19 symptoms. Thielen says they can now map all the current COVID information they gather there on the street.
Well, we've had over 100 assessments done in the first week, and it's telling us that most people that we're encountering are asymptomatic, so that's good news. But it also indicated one person, a couple of people who had slight symptoms. One individual did get tested, and fortunately he came up as negative. So that's, you know, a very simple thing that we've put into place that may help to save people's lives, but just as important, really help our outreach workers, help them figure out what's going on in the community.
What is going on, Laura, from what you can see?
Well,
are there changes on the street in terms of numbers of people, locations, and what they're doing?
Well, it's becoming a little bit more difficult as time goes on. Outreach workers know their areas very well, but people are moving quite a bit right now. Suites have restarted again. So catching up with those folks and making sure we stay connected with them is very important. We've also seen a lot of people that, due to this current crisis, they might be more willing to go into shelter, which is a wonderful thing if it works for them. For those people who are scared or feel insecure out on the street, we have more options now, one of those being the POST location out at Kihei Lagoon. Yep. Places like the POST are providing another opportunity for people to quarantine in place. They've opened up their third campsite, they being the Honolulu Police Department. This program is completely run by HPD, and each site has probably about 20 to 30 tents, and those are three-man tents, but most of them are only occupied by one person or a couple. And the way they're working it is there's a red zone, so you have a couple of days to figure out if this is the area that you want to stay in. And if it is, after that first couple of days, they will go into lockdown. People can leave if they would like to, but they cannot come back in once the quarantine period has started. It's going to be extremely important for providers to reach out once they've completed that first quarantine to try and work with these folks to see if they can get them into other types of housing that would be more appropriate. And so
you say that'll be difficult?
It will be difficult, but it's not impossible. Amazingly, we're still able to place people into rental units out in the community. And I give a huge shout out to those landlords who are willing to open their units to us.
What are you seeing with youth on the streets?
Yeah, it's the youth on the street is a big worry of ours. There are very few programs that actually work with the youth, and the drop-in centers have had to be shut down for this time. And that's a really difficult thing for these providers to deal with because there's not enough shelter for youth at this point.
Laura Thielen, Executive Director, Partners in Care. Amidst all the need, a new coalition has sprung up, and creators are saying joining these concerns, behavioral health and homelessness, is a new approach that can maximize service. You can check the Behavioral Health and Homelessness Statewide Unified Response Group, BHH Surge, site. There's information there. There's a screening tool for COVID-19 testing, if you want to take that. Screening for behavioral health, too. That's BHH Surge. Now, let's look into the homeless shelters. We'll talk with Connie Mitchell, Executive Director of the Institute for Human Services. IHS is the oldest, largest, and most comprehensive homeless services agency in Hawaii. They have 9 locations. The Sumner Men's Facility can host up to 160 people. The Ka'ahi Women and Family Shelter can host just over 160 single women and family members. Mitchell says these facilities normally run pretty much at capacity, but they've had to reduce numbers, and they're using unconventional spaces in order to allow social distancing.
I would say, you know, maybe we reduced by about 15% overall, mostly because of the families. We have really tried to help them find housing. And so as we've let them go, we haven't refilled some of those bed spaces. So we're down from about 100 to about 70 right now.
Families, what's it like for them in your shelters? How many have you got?
We have now, I think, maybe about, I would say about 15 to 16 families left, and we are trying to help the children get used to being online. So some of the folks, you know, who have needed to get access to a computer, we've worked with the DOE to provide those, and we also have, you know, more coming in for the folks that really are going to need them. But for the shelter, we have enough right now.
So you are maxed out. I mean, you really can't accept more people in the IHS system.
Well, actually, we every day, as I mentioned, you know, we have people that leave, and then we have people that come in. So I don't want people to feel like they shouldn't call us at all, because as soon as we're able to let people go, you know, we're able to bring people in.
Is demand growing?
I think that it is. Judging from the time that I've spent down at the post, you know, the police department's provisional outdoor screening and triage facility, the one at Ke'ehi Lagoon. So there is a place, you know, for folks to go that they can feel safer and, you know, not subject to the kinds of elements on the street that they normally would. So I think some people definitely are taking advantage of that option as well.
Do you think more people are actually becoming homeless?
I think, you know, what's happened is that it's not quite there yet, but next month is when I think you'll probably see people really reaching out even more. But I do have to say that the folks who are going to be, you know, in that situation, they have been working a lot of the time. So I think the homeless prevention programs that we have definitely will have greater demand. Those are programs that help people stay in their housing situation. You don't want people to fall into homelessness because it's much easier to help them while they're still in a home.
Okay. What's going to happen next, do you think? What are you preparing for next?
Well, I think one thing that I do see is that there are a lot of people who have addictions, alcohol and other substances, you know, opiates. And we really need to be aware that some of those people are very much going to need support, and it's an opportunity for them to probably get treatment if they want it. And if they do want it, we want to be ready. Unfortunately, I think we still have a ways to go, you know, to provide what we call treatment on demand, in the sense that when somebody wants to go into treatment, it's ready and, you know, there for them.
And there's the question of services for perhaps the recently incarcerated, whether perhaps prisoner releases are affecting homeless numbers.
I see that happening, but I don't see it like very pervasively, like, you know, a whole bunch of people coming out. I think slowly they're trickling out, and they're being selective about who they're releasing. But I do believe that there are people that are going to need a lot more support and assistance. You know, as I mentioned, I was down at the post, you know, the provisional outdoor screening and triage center, and, you know, there are people there that definitely could use a lot of support, and that is the very reason why we're trying to send more outreach, homeless outreach and case management out there, to just really link people with the services that they need. So I think, you know, we have our work cut out for us. There's no shortage of need for services, and we really have to build capacity to address those needs.
Connie Mitchell, Executive Director, Institute for Human Services. How are we doing at building that capacity? For that perspective, we'll turn to Scott Morishige, the governor's coordinator on homelessness. He fields input from across the state. In fact, every Monday, statewide homeless advocates and service providers meet online. And believe it or not, anywhere from 200 to 400 people plus log on for that meeting every week. Morishige says the COVID-19 shutdown is especially hard for unsheltered homeless because a lot of the services they need have been disrupted.
The pandemic is especially hard on homeless people who are unsheltered because they're disconnected now from a lot of the resources that they may have depended on. So, for example, groups that were providing food to people in encampments, many of those groups are no longer providing that service. In addition, homeless individuals who may have had, you know, cell phones that were their lifeline, they no longer can find places to charge their phones. Some of the service providers may have changed, you know, their procedures and their processes. So to respond to that, I think we've really had to work closely with the outreach providers who are continuing to go out. They're all essential workers. And we're also partnering with different groups to maintain access to bathroom facilities. There's this community group called Hui Aloha that is working with houseless individuals in encampments to partner with both the city and state to help maintain bathroom facilities so that we're able to keep these facilities open 24/7. So it's something that we're really looking at statewide. You know, we're starting to see a lot of new programs come online. On Oahu, we saw the Kahi Temporary Quarantine and Isolation Center in Iwale open up. That's only been open since April 1st, and they've served a total of 25 people as of yesterday had gone through that site. And all but three had been able to be connected to housing shelter or other long-term options following their stay there.
Those options are still available.
Those options are still available, and providers are continuing to house people. We also have the new program that the Honolulu Police Department is spearheading. It's called POST, Provisional Outdoor Screening and Triage, that's set up at Keihi Lagoon Beach Park. As of yesterday, there were about 60 individuals in the POST program.
And What's the capacity there?
I don't think that there's a hard limit. We're really limited by the park space. We're not looking at any of these places as being the final destination for homeless individuals.
You know, what's it like when you look at the flow, Scott? Because you know there are 4,000 homeless on Oahu.
I think the positive thing is, like I said, that we're still seeing placements into permanent housing.
Do we have a giant backlog of people wanting homes?
I wouldn't say that there's a backlog, but I think that there's a steady flow of individuals that want to be placed into housing. We all know that the economic impact is going to be very severe. I think the focus is making sure that we have financial resources out there to provide support, not only for those who are directly experiencing homelessness, but for those who are at imminent risk.
What are you seeing, really, Scott? Have you seen increases in numbers of homeless generally?
I don't think that we're seeing a significant increase in homelessness. I think it's the same population that we've been working with. I know that we do have individuals who have come here from out of state. I think it's very visible, but it's a very small segment of the population, and we do have resources available to help return those individuals to their point of origin.
And what are you anticipating? You know, people have said maybe 2 or 3 months we might see an increase on the street.
I think we may potentially see increases in homelessness as, you know, people are impacted by the economic slowdown. And, you know, the reality that many jobs lost may not necessarily return. I know when our community has the Great Recession in 2009, we did see a significant increase in homelessness between 2009 and 2016. We saw the numbers really increase dramatically, not only among single homeless individuals, but also among homeless families. And only recently did we see those numbers start to turn in the other direction. We need to be prepared for a similar type of increase, at least the possibility of it, the number of people coming out and willing to work together. That's one aspect that's been very positive for me and really shows me that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Scott Morishige, Governor's Coordinator on Homelessness. Mr. Morishige sent over figures showing the last recession sparked that wave of homelessness he mentioned. It extended over several years. All right, between the recession of 2009 and 2016, the number of homeless statewide went up 37%. Numbers of homeless finally started to come down in 2016. And by last year, homeless had decreased 19%. That's not a trend that's expected to continue. Right now, keeping people safe and in their homes is the goal of Aloha United Way's 211 hotline. The providers we just heard from say dialing 211 will begin connecting you to help. I called that number and had to leave a message for Donna Lum.